The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Welcome to the Repack. I'm Justice Mosqueda. I'm here with Evan Tex, Western Service of the People Tex.
Hey, everybody. Justice, hope you're doing okay. You had a little bout this week, but you're back. You're sounding mostly solid over there.
Yeah, I'm like probably 80% better. I was on the COVID list, which is why you guys didn't get it intercepted on Friday. I haven't left my house since Sunday. So other than to take out the trash, that's the one thing that I've had to do. But other than that, we've been basically quarantined. Apparently, every single person at the New Year's party that I was at, other than my girlfriend somehow, and then one of our other friends ended up getting it. So it was like 8 out of 10. Not great. Yeah. 0 out of 10. Do not recommend. Not recommend COVID. Not fun.
Yeah, sounded like you had a little bit of a rough week. So happy to hear you're back and mostly functional again.
Yeah.
Speaking of mostly functional and back, Packers offensive line, baby.
That's right. The Packers lost 37-30 to the Detroit Lions. Billy Turner is still out for COVID. We never really got clarity on like what his timeline to return is as the right tackle, but Dennis Kelly ended up starting there. David Moore, the return man, was also on the COVID list. Those were the only two guys still on there. David Bakhtiari came back after what he said. He made it sound like he wasn't confident, you know, coming into this week that he was going to play, even though, you know, Matt LaFleur said on Monday, he was like, you know, we're hoping David ends up practicing and playing. And he was even saying on Monday that, you know, Jaire Alexander without practice because he was on the COVID reserve list might have had a chance to play in this game. And then that, you know, didn't end up happening, even though Jaire practiced on Friday. Myers ended up starting at he started at center, which pushed Lucas Patrick to right guard. So Royce Newman ended up not starting, which I thought was interesting. I mean, that was something we've talked about all year, where it's like, if you're getting your best five out there, Newman isn't one of them. So
yeah, very telling that they revamped. Yeah, very telling that that was what they decided to roll out there is that starting five. I think barring something unforeseen here, I think that's going to be the five that you get starting, you know, in the divisional round in 2 weeks, unless Turner comes back at right tackle.
And it's worth noting too that like when they benched, you know, quote unquote, like benched their starters, there's not enough players on the team to like actually bench all your starters.
Yeah.
Bakhtiari came out. He actually came out like at a different time than everyone else. Bakhtiari, it seemed like it was fatigue issues is what they were saying, but that's not a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. That was LaFleur's comment that he came off. I think it was middle of the last touchdown series that the starting offense was out there for in the end of the first half. And I think on the broadcast, they said he went into the tent and was going in with some trainers, and they looked kind of concerned going in there, but he came off and was smiling and just, you know, put his baseball cap on and was chilling on the sidelines. So yeah, hopefully that's all it is. And, you know, continuing to work back. And now that he's got those reps under him, and he looked good. So, you know, hopefully that's a good sign for 2 weeks from now.
Now he's got 13 or 12 days, whatever it is now, to rest up and be able to get ready. Myers also left the game. Seemed like when Rodgers went out, you know, and Love came back into the game. And when he went out, Lucas Patrick ended up taking over at center, and then they plugged in Newman back at right guard. So something to look into. I mean, there was some talk in the APC Slack earlier about kind of like, you know, playoff best five. Like if all these guys are healthy, what does it look like? And I'm not opposed to the idea of Billy Turner kicking into guard, honestly, and then having Kelly just locked down at a right tackle if that's the situation that it needs to be. Because if it's left to right, Bakhtiari, Runyon, Myers, Turner
and Kelly,
and then Kelly with Nyman off the bench, with
Patrick off the bench.
Newman as your offensive line eight, right?
Yeah,
like your number eighth guy. Like that's
that'll work
as good as you're gonna get. Yeah,
yeah, that'll do, and that'd be the polar opposite of last year, right? Where Bakhtiari goes down right before the playoffs, you start having guys dropping like flies, and you're you know, last year you were losing guys at the end of the season. Now you're suddenly getting these guys back. That's I think why the vibes are so much higher right now, just across all of Packer Nation, about what this team can do compared to last season.
The other thing too is when Nyman came in off the bench, he still looked very good coming off the bench. If he didn't look like he was ready, I would be a lot more cautious about Bakhtiari's situation, because having a tackle drop out of a drive mid-drive for fatigue isn't a normal thing, right? Yeah. Like Bakhtiari's situation is, you know, very unique in and of itself in terms of like the amount of times he's looked like he's progressed and then taking a step back, right? But if Nyman looked like he's a guy who needs like a full week of prep to get ready for a game, that would completely change my mind of like how secure I feel about that left tackle spot going into the playoffs. But he came in and, you know, instantly was just like, you know, who he was, you know, the entire season, which is a pretty good tackle who's probably getting better as the season goes along.
Yeah, definitely. I think there was a thing going around Twitter earlier this week, and it was asking about most improved player over the course of the year. And he's got my vote for most improved on this team. Just what he showed, you know, development throughout the entire season. He put some ugly reps up in the preseason again this year. Mm-hmm. And for him to come along the way he has, going up against some damn good edge rushers all season long too. It's exciting. It's hopefully, you know, they'll be able to find a way to keep him around maybe as a swing tackle for the next year or two. Cause I think he's trying to remember if he's going into year three or four, if he's in that exclusive rights or if he's going to be a restricted free agent this offseason. But either way, like, you'd certainly love to see them bring him back and have that depth coming back at the tackle spot.
He's an RFA right now, so they'll probably hit him with like what is it, like that third round tag or something that is like $2 million, and then no one will touch him.
Probably that low tender. So
it should be noted too, I mean, Nyman was a guy who even like in August was behind like Ben Braden Ben Braden was getting reps over him as the replacement left tackle when they didn't know, you know, what Bakhtiari's situation was going to be like. And Elton Jenkins was still playing some guard and stuff like that. And, you know, there were times in the summer too, where Elton Jenkins was banged up and he wasn't playing too. So, yeah, I mean, this was a guy who was like a legit roster bubble type of dude. And now he's looking like, at the very least in 2 years, when the Packers no longer have, RFA rights, that he's going to end up being, if not one of the highest paid swing tackles in the NFL for someone, then a borderline starter for someone.
Yeah, somebody's going to pay him some money to start for sure, I think, because guys his size and his athletic profile, with experience and tape that shows that they can play left tackle at the NFL level, they don't hit the free agent market very often at all. So I definitely think he'll draw some interest next year if he doesn't end up signing a long-term deal in Green Bay.
So the big questions we got injury-wise in terms of just coming out of this game, Aaron Jones also didn't play and Devondre Campbell didn't play. Their issues, it seemed to be like they were still practicing throughout the week. So that seemed to be more of like, we have nothing to play for. And this is like, actually something that's going to hurt you. And you
don't take any chances.
Running back and linebacker. Like, you are the guys who hit people and take hits. Like, how about we settle down on this one a little bit?
Yeah.
But moving forward, Jair Alexander, still a question mark. Za'Darius Smith, still a big question mark. I mean, he's tweeting out the clock emoji and stuff like that. And I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, you're not practicing. Are you ready to come back or not? I don't get it.
Yeah. I don't know who that was intended for. If that was like a, hey guys, put me out there and start going, or I don't know. I have no idea what to do with that. But yeah, it certainly seems like if Alexander had been able to go a full week of practice, that they probably would have played him in this game to get him some snaps. So, and the only reason he didn't was because of COVID. Right. So I got to imagine that he'll be active. I still want to see what they do with him. If they put him inside, if they put him in the slot, and keep Stokes and Douglas on the perimeter, or if they do put him out there in place of one of those two guys on the outside.
Yeah. And something that we noticed last week, and then what it must've been 3 weeks ago against the Ravens. Now, King again played in the dime. So yep. Seems like he's taking over that role. When they go into dime, it's going to be four corner dime instead of three safety dime. Where, you know, Henry Black used to be the second slot. Now it's Kevin King. So if they play that kind of a defense, I mean, you would think that even if you're a nickel, like Chandon Sullivan then moves to that dime slot. And then now it's a competition between Chandon and King who yep. comes in on like third and six plus, you know, with Russell and Stokes and Jair just locking it down in nickel and in base, you know, on base downs.
Yeah. Again, who else is going to have a secondary that's got that kind of depth? In the playoffs this season, if you get him back and you're running Sullivan and King as your cornerbacks four and five, that's ridiculous. So it's going to be exciting to see what they do with him, and it'll be interesting to see the matchups too. I could see maybe them, you know, depending on who they end up drawing in that divisional round. I don't know, maybe that affects a little bit what they decide to do with that secondary.
Yeah, and shouts to the coaching staff, because the last 2 weeks we've seen limited snaps of Isaac Yiadom playing yeah. secondary. It's bad. It's bad. I mean, he's a good special teams guy. He's a good vice guy. He's a good gunner. Defensive football is not where that guy shines. And every time he comes onto the field in those fourth quarters when, you know, there's nothing to play for and they're just rolling guys out there, it's like they just target him immediately. Yep. And that was a guy who, maybe under a previous staff, like, could have just started the entire season. Like, they're, you know, they said, hey, this is where we have him on the depth chart. This is what we think he is, and we're just going to hang him out there. And, you know, shouts to Gutekunst for making the move for Douglas. The difference between those two is night and day in terms of coverage-wise. Like, that's huge signing.
And if they don't get Douglas, you probably see Adam a lot in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
And – I almost would guarantee that probably changes a game, at least one. Probably
they're not
two
the
or
one seed. They're not the one.
No, absolutely not. I mean, and with all of Douglas's big plays, I mean, that Arizona game, the couple of, you know, the other couple picks he's had, the pick sixes, like, Yadav's not giving you that. So that's at least one game worth of value for sure. I don't know how they address the cornerback's value in terms of wins over replacement over at Pro Football Focus. But if your replacement is Isaac Yiadom, that's got to be worth at least a win or two for Douglas.
Let's talk about the playoff picture a little bit before we get into this game on a more granular level. Packers 1 seed, Bucks 2, Cowboys 3, Rams 4, Cardinals 5, Niners 6, Eagles 7. So basically the Saints got the boot, and nothing really changed in terms of who had the lead for the divisions coming into it. You know, the Rams was kind of like the question mark. They ended up actually losing to the Niners, but so the Cardinals also lost to the Seahawks, so it didn't end up mattering. So we're going to get let's start with 4 and 5. The Cardinals are going to the Rams. That's going to be a fun game where it's just like, shootout, one of your quarterbacks is definitely going to do something that's just going to crush it, period.
Yeah, I don't see either of those defenses you know, really holding up that well. I mean, Seattle put up 38 on Arizona today, 190 rushing yards from Rashad Penny, another 98 receiving yards and two touchdowns from Tyler Lockett. Like, I think that's been the biggest issue as much as anything with Arizona this last stretch, when they've really tailed off, you know, the last 5-6 weeks of the season after being in position for the one seed. Their defense has just kind of fallen apart. So that's going to be interesting to watch. And you know, Cooper Kupp and Matt Stafford just lighten up the scoreboard again. Yeah, those two teams split the season series. Both road teams won those two games. So that'll be a fun one to watch. And it's always fun when you get those divisional games. Those teams know each other so well. They just played each other week 15, I think.
I think so.
So yeah, they're pretty closely removed from their last meeting. So that should be an interesting one.
Good old rubber match.
Yep.
The other thing too is neither of these quarterbacks have like won a big game in their life. And yeah. everyone loses sight of this. That Kyler, you know, after Thanksgiving or whatever, turns into a pumpkin. And then Stafford, anytime the lights get a little too bright, he doesn't end up looking right. So It's one of them's going to have to win. So it's going to be interesting to see like what narrative even gets constructed out of this game. The next game, the 3-seed Cowboys are hosting the 6-seed San Francisco 49ers. Jimmy had like the best game of his life. I don't think that's happening again.
No, I don't see it. I think I'll say that drive to tie the game and send it to overtime was remarkable on his part. That's the best drive of football he's ever played, I think, in his life. And I don't think that's going to be sustainable. Trayvon Diggs might give up 150 yards in coverage to Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk, but he also might pick off Jimmy G two or three times. So. And I don't know. I still don't know what the hell's going on with that running back situation. Is, you know, if Mitchell's gonna keep getting the reps, or you know, if he's gonna be fully healthy, who knows? But it's one of those matchups that takes you back to, you know, as someone who's old enough to have grown up in the mid-90s with the Cowboys 49ers matchups in the playoffs. That'll be a fun one to watch, just to bring some of those back to back into the forefront of my memories.
And then the last one, Bucks are hosting the Philadelphia Eagles, who, shouts to the Eagles, they traded Carson Wentz for a first round pick and cap relief. They got the cap relief, by the way, and the first round pick, if you're checking at home, to the Colts. The Colts lose to the Jacksonville Jaguars today in the clown game, where all their fans are wearing the red noses because they're tired of Trent Baalke and they want him fired. They lost that game. So now the Colts aren't in the playoffs. They have a quarterback that they don't believe in at all. Yeah, I mean, you can't tell me they believe in him moving forward. And they don't have a first round pick. And they have to eat all that cap space. So the Eagles now are made it in the playoffs with just basically just saying Carson Wentz is no longer on our team. We are a playoff team with Jalen Hurts. I don't think they have enough firepower, but like the X factor is like, so the Bucs don't have AB anymore. The Bucs secondary is still somewhat of a mess. And then, like, I guess, like, Goddard being an X factor with, like, Jalen Hurts running the option. Like, I guess that's the path to victory for the Eagles. But I feel best about the Bucs winning and making it into the next round relative to anyone else.
Yeah, and so much of the strength of the Eagles is that running game, and that's always been a pretty good strength of this Buccaneers defense as currently constructed, is kind of shutting down the run. So if they can if they can do that and keep Hurts and Sanders and those guys kind of contained and force Hurts to have to throw the ball from the pocket, that's pretty much going to be it. And they can just, you know, to do that, they can let JPP and Shaq Barrett tee off, and it's going to be over pretty early.
All right. Do you have anything in general about this game you want to touch, or you want to head to break and get granular into this?
The only other thing I think that's worth mentioning is that, thank God the Packers got out of this pretty much unscathed. The one injury was, looks like MVS went out with a back thing. So that'll be something worth watching, but you know, we'll hit it after the break, but Packers still have their wide receiver too on the field. So I'm feeling pretty good anyway. Leave it there.
All right. We'll take it to break and we'll come back with vibe checks. And we're back. All right. Start on the offensive side. Shouts to Davante Adams. Broke the franchise yardage record. Got that in the first half. So then, you know, everyone else could rest. Thankfully, we already touched on Newman being replaced at right guard. I thought it was interesting the beginning of the game, how different of a tone it immediately took when Rodgers knew that he had Myers at center and Bakhtiari at left tackle. He's holding on to the damn ball. And I was feeling very uncomfortable because I was basically watching that game I guess this is a bad analogy because, you know, Aaron Rodgers' parents and whatever his relationship with them are. But, like, it felt like I was watching, like, my son, you know? Where you're like, oh, my God, don't get hit. Don't get hit. Don't get hit. That was my entire first half experience with this Packers team. And he just kept holding on to the ball. He was, like, double clutching on, like, RPOs. I know he threw that touchdown to, like, Lazard on that, like, pick play RPO. But, like, dang it, man. Get the ball out of your hand. Like, there's nothing to win here. Nothing.
This was the game that really, or the first half that illustrated the whole theory that Rodgers plays better when he has a worse offensive line in front of him and therefore has to get the ball out quicker and in rhythm. That's been a popular position among a few of our folks at Acme Packing Company. I know Paul for sure has been pushing that theory for several years now. But yeah, he was. There were a handful of plays, sure, where he's getting it out in rhythm, but he definitely felt like he was more willing to just let the play set up and sit back there and trust the guys in front of him to keep him clean. I don't know, maybe some of that too was wanting to get Adams the record early. I thought it looked like maybe he was staring down Adams a couple times, trying to get him a couple of big plays to get that record right off the bat and, you know, get it out of the way and get it done with. So maybe that played into it a little bit too, but yeah, we just got to make sure he doesn't start going hero ball, you know, late 2016 era Rodgers, because that's not how this offense works. And we want to, you know, stick with what's been working, you know, the last two seasons, man.
Yeah, it looked like a totally different game. Like, yeah. he didn't play like he had, you know, the entire rest of the season. There was a ton of like, I'm going to drop back, like pat the ball a little bit. And then I'm like running like into the A gap. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, there's a hole here. I guess I'll run there. And it's like, whoa, we haven't seen this all season. Like, where did this come from? There's a lot of like, I guess not buyer's remorse because I didn't want him to even play in this game. Frankly, yep. I didn't really want that. If there's nothing to play for, don't let him in there. Like, have Jordan Love out there. If you want to get Devontae the record, let Devontae play some snaps. That's basically what my thought was, but
yep.
Not great. Bakhtiari was pulled for Nyman. We already touched that. I think they both look good. MVS was questionable to return for the back injury for whatever that's worth. So it doesn't sound like it's that big of an issue. It sounded like it was more on the Jones Campbell spectrum of like, do we really need him to push him right now? Probably not.
Yeah. Yeah. If there's any question about it, pull him off, keep him off the field and let him rest up for 2 weeks.
Beyond just that RPO touchdown, Lazard also had that crazy touchdown that like he like tipped back to himself.
That was nuts. That was great.
That's making the top 10 next summer of you know, best Packers plays from this past season. That's making it.
Yeah. Well, so is the Josiah DeGuara 60-yard touchdown tight end screen too. Didn't know that guy had that kind of wheels.
He didn't know he had that kind of wheels. Did you see him look back like 10 times? Yeah. He was like, where are the DBs? If you watch that play, who is it? I think it's Lucas Patrick. Just clobbers someone.
Yep.
Just absolutely just dirts a guy. And then he like takes out the corner, I think, because he dirts the guy so hard. And that's what springs DeGuara and why DeGuara looks over his shoulder three different times and is like, why am I this wide open? That was great. Yeah.
That was fantastic.
They were using the tight ends. They were rotating them a lot, even early in the game. Three tight ends in the first three snaps, I have written down. Five different wide receivers in the first three snaps. So, like, everyone was kind of getting involved real early on. Daphne, signs of life. Love to see that after, you know, a couple weeks of him dealing with that ankle injury and getting passed up by Tyler Davis and stuff. Didn't really see a ton of Tyler Davis, but he definitely was out there.
He did drop a could be touchdown from Jordan Love. It was on the field goal drive or something late, or maybe it was the Patrick Taylor touchdown drive. But a great touch pass from Love to that front corner of the end zone and just off of Davis's fingertips. And Greg Olsen was getting on him a little bit for that on the broadcast. That of course the tight end thinks that the tight end should be able to catch that ball. So. Would have loved to have seen it, but I still think Tyler Davis is, you know, he's going to be good for 15-20 snaps a game in the postseason and probably a couple targets and move the chains a couple times. And I would love to see that seam ball that he caught a couple weeks ago from Rodgers again at some point, because I think that could be, if he can contribute in that way, that'd be a something that I don't think you really have from a lot of the other guys at that position right now.
Yeah, and he's a guy that I ended up charting where he lined up and the run pass splits after last week. So they use him as a Y, which is like the inline tight end, which is like Mercedes Lewis. So he's kind of like the pass catching option with the hand in the dirt type of guy. And then they also use him whenever they went into empty, not this week, but last week, they would use him in empty and they would have him on the number one. So it's like a legitimate pass catching threat split outside, but to make it so that you have more slot receivers on the inside, if that makes sense. So yep. That's kind of how they end up using him. I thought that was kind of interesting. Winfrey had a fumble. Not great. This dude, what is it? Two fumbles and six touches or something like that?
I think that's what it was. Yeah. Not great.
You'd like to see better. You'd like to see better than that.
He did. They did come back to him for a big catch on third down another couple plays later. So that was at least build up a little bit of confidence there. But yeah, if Juwan Winfrey is playing major significant offensive snaps before this season is up for this team, something's gone horribly, horribly wrong.
And the thing is, there's like maybe a chance that he's going to have to. I mean, depending on, I guess, COVID, right? Because COVID just could impact everything.
Yeah.
But Randall Cobb coming back adds more depth. I'm thinking of all the guys ahead of him, like in terms of position snaps. It has to be the three major guys, Cobb, Equanimeous St. Brown, and then it's him, because he was getting more wide receiver snaps than Malik Taylor or Amari Rodgers, but he still even then wasn't getting that many, and a lot of those were against the Arizona Cardinals that one week when everyone was just out. So
yeah,
he definitely is a positional wide receiver more than like a special teams guy, but it's not like they really even need him right now. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if he moved back down to the practice squad if, you know, Cobb and Alexander already got activated, so that he doesn't count. Zadarius, I guess, is the other guy. So like if two guys come up, two guys have to go down. I could see Winfrey being one of those guys who drops down just in terms of the numbers game. Patrick Taylor, NFL running back. Definitely an NFL running back. He looks good. He's great.
You've been on him since day one. And 53 yards, 11 carries. I think at least three or four that he broke off for 10-yard gains or so. Good burst running inside and outside. Loving the prospect of this running back stable next year. When you get Kylan Hill back, still got Jones and Dillon, and then Patrick Taylor in that mix. That's a great set of four guys. And especially if Hill and Taylor can both play special teams, and if you can roster all four of those guys somehow, that's a great unit.
All right, so let's say all four of these guys are back. Kylan is probably a key return man again, because he's going to be RB3 at best. Does that put Amari Rodgers in a position where he's on the roster bubble?
Should. I mean, he should be on the roster bubble as it is. So unless something drastic changes during the offseason this summer, he certainly hasn't added anything on offense. And I think you can certainly make the case that he's been a net negative on special teams.
All right. Jordan Love. There's a lot of like, don't make a referendum off of this game take type thing. But like, between the preseason, between these games, we've basically gotten three full games of snaps out of Jordan Love. We saw him in his college career. He went through the whole draft process, all that stuff. I don't think he's a different guy than he was coming out of college. I think he's the same guy.
Yeah.
And that same guy is, he's not an NFL starter right now. So
the development curve just hasn't seemed to take off, certainly the way you'd like it to. So still kind of occasional inaccuracy issues. The second pick today was one of those.
Real bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
The first pick, Amari just gave it up to the defense. Shouts to Amari. I
mean, well, and it got tipped at the line of scrimmage too. Yeah. So there was two different issues on that one. I'm not going to blame him for that one, but the second one was all Love. Missing on the throw to EQ that could have been a 70-yard touchdown too. I know he had pressure in his face, but I don't know if that's a, you just need to, you know, trust it, step into your throw, take the hit and deliver it. Have to watch back at that one and see what happened there, but yeah, it's not, it doesn't feel great. So it's, you know, I think we need to be on the, you know, the he's coming back bandwagon.
If Rodgers comes back, there's really no point in having Love on the roster still.
No.
So if you're going to do that, it's not a good quarterback class in terms of the draft. If there's ever a year where you're like, hey, this guy still has some value in him, we're not saying he's for sure not going to make it, he's for sure going to make it. You're just taking an educated bet and saying, all right, we would like to exchange Jordan Love for a second round pick when we have Aaron Rodgers coming onto a new contract. This is the offseason to do it.
Done.
You got to do it.
And you got to. Absolutely. No
question. Call Washington every week. Every week.
Yep.
Call Washington every week.
Hell, at this point, call Indy.
Yeah. I mean, they get first round picks for Carson Wentz.
Right.
You never know.
And like you said, you know they don't trust Carson Wentz moving forward. He pretty well lost them or that game today. So. Yeah, make some phone calls. See if you can get a dumb GM to bite. That's one of the things a good GM should always do is call bad GMs with trade offers and see what happens.
Absolutely, absolutely. Five checks for the offensive side of the ball. I'm not really worried about anything I saw today. I guess I'll go like 8 out of 10, just because I don't know how much you can take from this game in general. But Feeling pretty good, other than Rodgers just holding on to the ball way too long. I don't like that.
Yeah, that's my only minus. So I'm at a 9. I am feeling sky high on this offensive line situation. Cobb's coming back. Lazard has been just a monster down the stretch. I am as excited for this offense as I've been. And they scored a first drive touchdown in this game too, which
they sure did.
How many of those have they had this season? 1, 2, maybe. I am rolling high right now. This is great. I'm excited going into the playoffs.
On the defensive side, with Campbell out, Oren Burks started at inside linebacker, which I thought was expected. The Fox team, I don't know who they talked to in the production meeting. They had McDuffie in the graphic.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? McDuffie hasn't gotten like a defensive snap like this whole year. What games are you guys watching? So Burks got in. He started at inside linebacker. I thought he did okay. There were a couple times where they had him one-on-one with a wide receiver. Wide receiver crosses his face. He just can't catch up, which, you know, college safety, you would hope that, you know, he would be able to run better with those guys. But at the end of the day, he is an NFL linebacker. The Lions threw absolutely everything out there. Mm-hmm. There was a fake punt throw. There was a like double end around trick play touchdown. There was a like end around flea flicker touchdown.
Yep.
There was Equanimeous St. Brown in at quarterback to run the triple option.
Or Amon Ra and his brother, right?
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got
it's okay. There's two mixed up. You got two St. Browns in this game. They kept showing the Brown family on TV all game long. So you're all good.
One thing I forgot. The dad's name is John Brown.
Yep.
He changed his name to Saint Brown. He changed the children's
the name kids' to names Saint to Saint Brown. Yeah, because he thought Brown was too boring. So he's like, no, we'll call it Saint Brown to jazz it up a little bit.
Who's Saint Brown?
That yes, patron saint of I don't know, package delivery or something. I got nothing. No, they're a fascinating story. They're a fascinating family. I know they touched on it a little bit on the broadcast. I mean, all the kids are trilingual and you know, their mom is a German fashion designer and dad's Mr. Universe. And it's crazy, but it is kind of fun to see, you know, those guys. And they've got a younger brother, Osiris, coming up. I think he's at Stanford, I think. Yeah,
he's at Stanford. I'm going to roll probably at USC.
Yeah, so he should be probably draft eligible the next couple of years. So you'll see a third St. Brown in the league in not too long.
These Packers couldn't stop Amon Ra St. Brown. I'll tell you that. Eight receptions, over 100 yards. I mean, he was a headache all game. And frankly, he's going to be a headache moving forward. I know he's had something like 6 consecutive 8 reception games or something like that. They finally are like feeding him. They realize what they have in him. He's going to be a player. Packers fans are going to hear about him for at least the next three seasons before his next contract is up, and then we'll see after that. But he looks like a damn good player. It's interesting that, you know, the news came out this morning that, like, Anthony Lynn and Campbell are going to part ways. And, you know, Lynn was another guy who was a former Parcells guy, which is why I think, you know, they kind of meshed together and, you know, were kind of a package deal when they went to Detroit. 1 year doesn't work out, and Campbell's calling plays and he's calling all these trick plays and he's like, never die ever.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see what that offense looks like moving forward, because you can't come away watching this game feeling that Jared Goff is the answer at quarterback. And they do have, they're about to have the second overall pick. I know it's not a good quarterback class, but you can probably use that second overall with you know, Russell Wilson apparently, you know, going to be on the trade market again, and all these other guys, you know, floating around. Jimmy Garoppolo is probably going to be traded at some point. Like, you can find some sort of upgrade from Jared Goff over this offseason. So I don't know if Jared is going to be the starter week one next year.
I don't know. You did mention they've got the second overall pick. If they had just lost this game, they would have had the number one pick because the Jaguars beaten the Colts. Yes. So they ended up shooting themselves in the foot by a little bit long term by, you know, not just rolling over and letting the Packers roll over him. But no, Campbell was, he pulled everything out, and it mostly it all worked. You know, we'll touch on that fake punt in a minute, but you know, you get a little slot receiver throwing a 75-yard touchdown pass. I think I saw what they say on the broadcast. It was the longest touchdown pass by a non-quarterback since like 2003, something ridiculous like that. And LaFleur was hot about it in his presser too.
Furious. He was
pissed.
He was going off and he was like, I'm not done yet.
Yeah. After and talking about how, you know, no, all 11 guys have to know what the hell they're doing. And yeah, he was real unhappy with the fact that they gave up a couple of those big plays and those trick plays. So expect some heated defensive meetings, I think, this week and into next week.
For as much as people make this game out to be, you know, they rest their starters in the second half, that was really on the offensive side. And on the defensive side, the secondary was there the entire game up until probably the fourth quarter, I would say. You know, the front, they were doing like the mass subs thing, right? Where it was like, you know, they would start a drive with Tipa and Garvin or something like that. And then the next drive, it would be Kenny's out there and Dean Lowry's out there and Gary's out there and Preston Smith's out there. Shouts to Preston Smith. He was trying his heart out to get that last sack that would earn him like $1.5 million between
Goff just would not let it happen. There was one where he just barely got a bad throw off or throwaway off that Preston had him in his grasp. He was so close.
Jared Goff is anti-labor. That's canon. That's canon. But yeah, I mean, they moved the DBs around a little bit. King was getting in there. I did see that, like, when they did pull their starters, they pulled Adrian Amos and put in Henry Black, which I thought was interesting. Savage
didn't go well, for the record.
Yeah, did not.
Can't remember if that was another St. Brown play where Black went in for a big hit and just bounced right off of him.
Yeah, that was when Channon Sullivan went out momentarily. So Shamar John Charles came in.
Yes.
John Charles had him in man coverage, and Henry Black was the rat, which is just basically like, I'm just knocking the crap out of anyone who comes across the middle. He misses him, basically, just gets the guy bounced off of him. And then St. Brown ends up just running past Shamar John Charles. And it's like, oh, we have that double covered. And he just beat it. He just beat it. He's a better football player than you guys are. Yeah, that's a bummer. I thought Savage played really poorly in this game.
Yeah,
honestly, he just stands back there and just watches plays happen kind of a little bit. So he's the one guy I worry the most about in the secondary, in terms of the base secondary, when it comes to playoff time. Because, like, let's just go over those teams again. I mean, it's Gronk, right? It's I'm spacing on his name for the Cowboys. He's a solid tight end. Schultz.
Yep.
Higbee's not really that guy, but Ertz, Kittle, and Goddard.
Yeah.
Damn near every matchup, they're going to have to match up with some of these tight ends and hit some guys across the middle. And if Savage is just standing there straight up, like, that's going to be a mismatch sometimes. It's not like Savage is a huge dude. He's a guy who has, like, man cover skills like a cornerback. But, like, you're a safety. You're going to have to pop some guys sometimes. Like, come downhill and make a tackle.
Yeah, not great. That's the matchup that scares me the most on defense. And I think a lot of this game too, you saw the absence of Devondre Campbell a lot in this game. That I think, you know, I mentioned it, is he maybe the single most important player on this defense, just based on what replacement level is behind him, you know, that drop down from him to Chris Barnes. Kenny Clark is maybe the other possibility, right? But man, yeah, this defense is a totally different animal without Campbell in there.
100%. And they were playing weird games when they did have to use Burks and Barnes at the same time. Like, they would drop down Barnes to the line of scrimmage and kind of have him play like almost like a Zadarius type of role, just to get like five up front. And then Burks was the guy who was cleaning up everything, you know, sideline to sideline. And it makes sense because Burks has that speed, but when you're rallying, you're forcing every ball to Burks to make him make that tackle. That's different than if it's that guy is Campbell. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
They're just different kind of physical presences, I guess, is the way to kind of explain it. The other thing, Dean Lowry, great game.
Yes.
They ran a ton of power run, which is, you know, not surprising when Jamal Williams is your running back and Dan Campbell is calling plays for you. He was splitting a lot of that stuff in the backfield, beating a lot of down blocks and stuff like that. There was even one like a pin and pull play where he just full on takes out the first puller. He was just like, nope, mine. This play is dead now. And then I believe he got a sack too. Like, Dean Lowry probably played his best game since like October, when he was like really going off.
That was good to see. Yeah. And that sack came, I think, one play after the Lions starting center went out with an injury, and whoever they brought in to back him up, they lined Lowry right over the nose and he just drove him straight back 8 yards right into Jared Goff's lap. Yeah. That was one of the most impressive plays I think I've ever seen Dean Lowry make. They were playing some games with the alignment on the defensive line, I thought, too. I mean, Lowry played over the nose a little bit. There were a couple of snaps where I saw they were in a four-down lineman front, which I haven't seen really much at all this year.
They did that a little bit, and it was always in a real specific situation. I remember I charted this stuff. It was when teams were backed up for whatever reason. They went to a lot. Like, when teams started a drive inside their own 15, against San Francisco, this happened a good amount. But they haven't been doing it recently. And I don't think they've done it since Jalen Smith got released, honestly. I think that's the last time that we really saw those looks. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what the common thread is, I guess, between all of those moments.
Yeah.
In terms of vibe checks, where are we at defensively? I don't think this was a good game at all for the defensive side. I mean, at the end of the day, you're still going against Jared Goff. You couldn't stop a rookie wide receiver with your starters. Your depth really got shown. The trick plays are the trick plays, whatever, but there were other things to be worked on other than just that. So I'll say like 6 out of 10.
Yeah. And that's where I'm at too, because Campbell being out for this game, I think makes such a huge difference. between that and the trick plays, I think you get a more normal situation. You know, if this was a playoff game, I'm 100% confident Campbell would have played and probably would have played well again. So I'm sure they're just being extra cautious with him. So I'm not worried about him coming back and playing well at all in a couple of weeks. So I do think that makes a huge difference. And if we get this version of Dean Lowry again 2 weeks from now, him and Kenny Clark, that's with Campbell back behind them, that's going to be a good thing moving forward. Plus Jair's coming back. So there's reasons to be optimistic. I think that this was a little bit of an outlier, and but to your point, there's some discipline issues, and you've got some some question marks about the coverage, especially deep over the middle with Savage in particular, and then in the slot. So those are the areas where I'm, you know, I'm going to be most concerned seeing how the matchups look 2 weeks from now.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the St. Brown stuff, honestly, is coming from the slot. And yes. maybe that's something where they look and they're like, damn, we need Jair there, or we need Russell Douglas there or something. Cause I think both of them are more likely to play in there than Stokes, just because if Douglas is being that aggressive and you're that aggressive in the slot, like, those are house calls, you know, and he's already making house calls, but you can get a lot more of those from the inside. And that's a game changing play.
Yeah. And Jerry Gray even said this week that Stokes is a boundary corner right now. He doesn't want to, you know, pressure him with adding any of those types of responsibilities onto his plate. So that tells me that if they're going to do anything, it's going to be Jair Rasul. And with a guy like Amon-Ra, who is, he's a decently sized guy. He's not huge, but you know, he's decently built, and he's not a burner, but he's a really good route runner. He's a good technician. I think that's where a guy like Rasul, maybe, you know, body him a little bit at the line of scrimmage and, you know, see if you can throw him off a little bit off his release. Maybe that's a way to combat that a little bit. So again, it'll come down to the matchups and who they play in a couple of weeks, but that's going to be probably one of the things I'm going to watch most when the Packers are on defense in a couple of weeks.
Moving on to special teams. Amari Rodgers was returning on kickoffs and punts. Again, David Moore was out for COVID. So we don't know what that's going to look like, you know, in the divisional round. You know, there's a chance that he ends up being the punt returner in that situation, I would guess. Not great. There was that one kickoff return where Amari was already in the end zone and he took it out. And it just reminded me of the Christian Michael. Like, I got to show coach something, you know,
yeah.
I got to show coach something type ass play. So those type of things always worry me when there's a whisper of desperation and you have to return a play. It's not good. It's not good, because that's when dumb decisions get made and it's about to be playoff time.
Well, it was the one that it reminded me of was the Ty Montgomery return against the Rams. He did everything but fumble that Rodgers did on that one. So that would have really been the icing on the cake if he had somehow lost the ball. I was watching the game on Sunday Ticket, because here in Ohio we had the Browns Bengals game on local TV, of course. Fox picked that one up and didn't leave that one on CBS, I will never know. But so because of that, I was about a minute and a half behind on the Sunday Ticket stream, and I saw everybody screaming at Amari in the Slack chat, and I'm thinking, oh shit, he pulled a Ty Montgomery and fumbled this kickoff, didn't he? And so I was all prepared for worst case scenario when I actually saw that play come up. So that was rough. He did have a nice punt return. I mean, that was kind of nice.
That was his best one of the year, I think.
Lions punter totally outkicked his coverage on that play. I think it was, that was a 67-yard punt. So it still ended up netting him like 45 yards. But no, not great. But there was one very fun play on special teams, which was the Lions fake punt when your guy Tipa was going down in coverage.
Hands up.
His hands
go up, your hands go up.
That was great. Yeah. I was joking that Igwebuke's gotta learn from Devontae Adams when to have those late hands, because that was all Tipa was doing, you know, the last, you know.
The ball
was at the top of its arc and he already had his hands up.
Yep. No. Yeah. He could have ran 80 yards with his hands up. He was not putting his hands down. He had one move and he knew exactly what he needed to do. That was funny. Yep.
Yeah.
He did get his butt kicked a couple times in this game too, by the way, on the defensive side. That what was it? The rushing touchdown. He just runs 10 yards into the backfield and then it's Isaac Yiadom one-on-one. For a touchdown, basically.
That was a Rashawn Gary special.
Yeah, that was not great. But that was not great. They still, again, I still contend Za'Darius is the biggest X factor this whole playoffs, because him coming back helps their defensive line depth so much more than the improvement anywhere else. Because you look at cornerback, they've been solid at corner. You look at tackle, they've been solid at tackle. Defensive line is really where they're like, We have two NFL players right now. And if those guys aren't healthy and they're not on the field or they get gassed, you can pretty much do whatever you want to this team. So, one less fun special teams play. Mason missed a PAT, and there was seemingly no issue with the snap, no issue with the hold. It was just – it was on his hash. It was a PAT, and it's in a dome. It's not what you want to see at a kicker.
No, that wasn't great. That wasn't great at all.
I'm sure, that's the one where I think I finally tilted to the Mason's probably not here next year.
Yeah.
Side of the coin. I think that's the straw that broke the camel's back for me.
Well, and again, his contract is going to make it hard for him to stick around anyway. With the cap situation the way it is, they're going to have to find, you know, $2-3 million here and there where they can, if they're going to try to bring Aaron and Devontae back next year. So I think that's an easy place to pick up about $2.5 million in cap space if they, if they really need to find some extra money to go around.
I don't think we've talked about this guy on the pod yet, but a guy you're going to hear me being a big advocate for during draft season, Matt Araiza, the punter from San Diego State, who can just he can just hit 80-yard punts at will. He kicks off. I'm sure he could kick. Maybe he could hold it for himself too. Potentially snap. Like draft that guy, and we'll save us some money. We'll save us some money. That's my thought. Special teams vibes. I'm going like 4 out of 10. We got Amari returning. Like we got Amari returning. It doesn't look good sometimes, and our kicker missed a PAT. We're about to go on a Super Bowl run. Please spare me.
Just don't leave it in that unit's hands. Just don't let anything like, But Boho had a bad shank last week. Like, don't end up going. Please don't go full Chargers is all I ask for at this point.
Before we get out, man, let's do rooting interests for these NFC games.
Yeah.
Who do we want to win? Is it just upsets across the board? Is that what we want?
So Eagles over Bucks for sure, right? Yeah, like that.
100%.
No question
about
that.
Bring me Jalen Hurts and Lambeau.
Yep.
For his first playoff game. Let's do
absolutely it. For sure. Niners Cowboys. Only
that
because
one's tough. Rooting for whoever brings anthrax into the stadium.
Yeah, Kittle is the one that scares me the most, I think, out of either of those two. I mean, Kittle and Debo is, but then again, you know, Jimmy could turn into a pumpkin at any point.
Yeah.
So, you know, and Dak. And
the Cowboys just lost Gallup.
Yep. Gallup gone, you know, Dak's ankle and all the issues he's been having, that's not going to go well in Lambeau, I don't think. So, as far as Cardinals Rams go, I mean, I think with a full offense, I think this Packers team can put up 30 plus on the Cardinals defense as currently constructed without too much trouble. But they have the Rams number right now, and the Rams don't scare me at all. So I'm okay either way on that one. You know, if Tampa and Dallas end up winning, neither one of those two teams from the West really scare me coming into Lambeau at this point. But yeah, if you're putting a gun to my head and telling me to pick one, I might, oh man, I probably go Cardinals just because I don't think Kyler's going to be able, you know, Kyler in the snow, in the cold at Lambeau, I don't think that's going to work out so well. And yeah, I feel good about Green Bay putting up points on that defense.
See, I worry a little bit about Kyler just because we just came off the Huntley, like we can't stop the scrambling quarterback game.
Yeah.
So I'm still a little worried about that. Less so about Hurts, just because Hurts is just, he's so much more limited as a passer compared to Kyler in terms of how dynamic his throwing lanes and stuff like that are. So I think I'm with you. Go Eagles. Go Cowboys. Honestly, I don't want a piece of shit. Like the me being lulled into not being afraid of the 49ers and then having Shanahan and Kittle and Ayuk and Debo just come and rip us a new one is not what I want. So probably go Cowboys, bring me McCarthy. I know we can outthink McCarthy, I promise. And then Rams over Cardinals, I think, is what I want.
I think
just
so too.
Because the Kyler X factor of him just running around, I don't need that stress.
Yeah, you've got me on that one.
All right, got anything else to plug?
No, I think just keep it here. We'll have wild card weekend coverage. So, and then we'll have to see what it looks like, because I am going to be out for the divisional card or divisional playoff weekend. Should be back, knock on wood, if Packers can win their first game. I should be back in time for conference championship week, but got a little tropical vacation coming up. So I'm getting out of the cold, gross Ohio winter and going to go sit out on a beach and watch the divisional round game in a nice warm island climate. So looking forward to that. And you know, we'll have everything still rolling, of course.
Yeah. Just get ready for the Super Bowl.
Let's just be ready
for the Super Bowl. It's what they're telling us, Adarius. We need you tweeting out the little clock emojis and stuff.
Yep. There we go. couple weeks, baby. Nice week off.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. Keep it tuned to the feed. Click everything on the website this week. Hopefully we get some good injury news, if any injury news. No COVID news. None.
Yep.